With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Find out things about our guys every day that just really impress me. I was just in the other room talking with Craig and Bo. Wow. You know what, Mike? You are right. Craig is a special breed.
Yeah, Craig is a mutant, man. He's like an X-Men. I mean, it's amazing. Craig, he reminds me of a little bit of me when I first got here to Atlanta, when I first moved up here from Florida.
Yeah.
And I didn't even have a car. I had like an old motorcycle that didn't work. Craig, I've never seen a guy score more chicks with no money in his pocket than Craig. It blows me away. I mean, I used to live off the charity of my buddy Paulie and Johnny and the guys that ran, Lulu's, you know what I mean? I mean, guys at Fidel used to take care of me as I was making my way in this world. Craig, it's amazing. Guy dresses like a bum, you know, he's got no money. No disrespect, Craig. And he is knocking it out of the park. I mean, hot chicks.
No disrespect.
But hot chicks, I mean, just amazing. Your hit list is amazing. I'm blown away.
Yeah.
That's pure, 100% unadulterated rap. He's got a great rap.
We just had a conversation. He was telling about his trip to California. He went back home, and I guess a young lady reached out to him, and so he was telling me the details, the tea. And it got kind of interesting in there. So that's what I just walked back in here from. And it just dawned on me, Craig, you're a different breed. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. We've got our dog report coming up.
I mean, with all due respect.
No disrespect. Also, we'll talk to the legendary Dale Murphy. Last night, if you missed it, and by the way, we just found this out. But last night, if you missed it, Acuna gets hit with the first pitch. He takes his base, but it was intentional. It was uncalled for. He's owned the Marlins. And ultimately, it got snickered thrown out last night. But we win 5-1. We're back at it tonight at SunTrust. But Brian McCann, Mike, placed on IL after last night. Mm. They recall Alec Jackson, that is, from AAA Gwinnett. So BMAC is on IL right now.
Yeah, he did not look good. I know they didn't want to guess on the broadcast last night, but he definitely had some discomfort. So Brian is going to be – I mean – it's the dog days of summer, and the Braves are dealing with a lot of stuff right now, to be honest with you. That's why, as much as we want to see payback and we'd love to see the Marlins going down like bowling pins, you just don't really have the manpower to be doing that kind of stuff right now. I mean, you know, Don Mattingly has got a mean on for Acuna, and Acuna obviously had some RBIs and some big hits, and maybe Mattingly doesn't like the way Ronald has developed his now sort of like da-da-da-da-da as he comes around third base. He does his little stutter step thing. Who knows what's going on in Mattingly's head? But he is a jerk. We all know that. But I would love to see somebody, even bring up somebody from Gwinnett just to put somebody on his butt. But you can't do that because now we get in a brawl and heaven forbid somebody else gets hurt. I mean, these are the things we got to deal with.
Marlins aren't going to fight anybody.
Well, they got nothing. They got the worst
punks.
Of the worst team in the bigs for
punks.
Crying out
loud. Marlins aren't going to fight anybody. They're not playing for anything. Guys are looking for paydays every couple of weeks. That's all they care about.
But that's the thing. I mean, that's Lion does not mess with hamster. Grasshopper. Yeah. Should we get down on their level or should we? Because the old rules of baseball say somebody's got to pay before these next two games are over.
Here's my only concern. And Brian, by the way, has a sore knee. That's what happened. And he left in the third inning of last night's game. Dansby, by the way, no word on his potential rehab assignment, even though he's doing more stuff.
And he's got to get his butt back up here.
He's missed
because you're giving too much up offensively for the good defense.
He's missed 25 games already. Here's my thing with the Braves. If you're going to let the Marlins punk you, and hit one of your best players and potentially take him out of a series, what do you think these playoff teams are going to do? What do you think they're watching? And so, you know, I think that, again, it's not necessarily about hurting somebody. It's not about a brawl. It's about setting a tone to say, hey, we won't allow this to happen. I've said it. I will be disappointed again if nothing transpires, especially Mike. Mm-hmm. Here's the kicker. If we had eight more games of the Marlins, you might wait it out. we're done with them after these two, right? We got two more with them?
Right. The next time you'll see them after Thursday's game would be in spring training. So it's just one of those things. And who knows? And that's the other thing. Don Mattingly, yeah, it might be your last chance to get some payback on his guys because Mattingly might not be back next year for the Marlins if you read the one paper that covers him down in South Florida.
He's a jerk.
I don't know. I don't understand because I never knew. Did you ever hear anything about him as a player?
No.
I mean, other than he's got a chip on his shoulder, he's not getting into Cooperstown. But I just don't understand it, unless it's just a new school thing. He doesn't like Acuna, and that's why. Because there's no other reason, guys. You have to be clueless not to see it. And the first pitch of the game against the best player, one of the best young players in baseball, and the team did it nearly a year to the day.
We will ask Dale Murphy coming up in 20 minutes. Right now, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right, as we get ready for the upcoming college football season, starts this weekend, by the way. Games this weekend, and then we get into Labor Day weekend, and it's on, and then we got college football the rest of the year. But a lot of people, Mike, are talking about George Pickens. 6'3", 190 pounds. And here is a guy that was the number one wide receiver out of Alabama who chose Georgia. He chose Georgia because he felt like he could come here and play immediately. Now, you know that viral video, you've talked about it, that's out there. But Pickens is a guy that when he was at Hoover High School, guys, senior year, 1,300 yards, 16 touchdowns. That 1,368 yards was the 14th most in Alabama high school history. So this is why everybody was on him, and Alabama loses out on the best wide receiver in the state and arguably one of the best players in the country who comes to Georgia.
Right. And, again, Jake Fromm, you know, you got a guy that can get him the football. Auburn's excited about Bo Nix, and, you know, if he had stayed at Auburn, perhaps that would have been a dynamic duo, but it's not. This guy, and you said it, the sort of the Odell Beckham-like reach-around catch that he makes, which went viral. Players are talking about him. If you read Seth Emerson, The Athletic, or Jeff Sentell, all the players keep talking about, wow, another wow moment from Pickens. The players talking about him. So there has become a buzz of here's the next A.J. Green, Megatron, you know, Odell Beckham-type guy, and you got him at Georgia. But as you and I ask the question every day on the Dog Report, which is, by the way, brought to you by Cool Ray. Cool Ray and Carrier, guys, turn to the experts. The most unbelievable deal right now for AC when you call up the guys at Cool Ray. Carl, the idea that you're going to run the football, yes, but you got so many studs in the, you know, in the barn, you got to get a chance to get Pickens the rock, don't you?
Well, listen, you got all these guys declare for the draft, right? Mecole Hardman's now in Kansas City. Riley Ridley, gone. Terry Godwin leaves. So for Pickens and the other guys that decided to come to Georgia, it was an opportunity that seemed to be perfect because as a freshman, you can step in. He's got the size and the ability, athleticism. But, yeah, the bigger thing is, what was he promised? Because, Mike, if you're a number one wide receiver like this and you can go anywhere around the country, including places they throw the ball way more than they do at Georgia, why do you come here? And I think part of that narrative is, we got a guy that's not only experienced, but we're also changing things up on the offense. We got a hint of this a few weeks ago when we heard from some of the offensive players saying, you guys might be surprised. Doesn't mean they're not going to run the football, but you can't let these hosses just be out on the edge not do anything.
That's what I'm
with
talking
them.
About, bro. And James Coley could be the guy. Now, if it was the previous OC who's now up there, Chaney up in Tennessee, perhaps we'd still be asking for that. I think there's going to be more. Okay, maybe it's wishful thinking because all my buddies that are dog fans who went to UGA, like Johnny and King Kamehameha, they're all thinking that there's going to be a much more dynamic offense with Coley than we've seen in the last few years. But Kirby wants to run the ball. And if you don't have to risk it, why risk it? But then again, Carl, you know, what's the point of stealing a guy from Auburn if you're not going to take him and get him in the end zone?
Just to take you back, Calvin Ridley in 2015 at Alabama had over 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns his freshman year. One of the best freshman seasons in this decade, along with Justin Rose. You guys remember him at Clemson as a freshman? Over 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. Christian Kirk, who's now in the NFL at Texas A&M, as a freshman, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. My point is,
by the way, don't draft him on
Christian
Saturday.
Kirk?
That's my guy.
You
it's
like
my,
Christian
that's
Kirk?
That's my round 8 pick,
really?
Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. He's got great hands.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of year that Pickens could potentially have. All right, what else is going on around college football as we just talk about the Dawgs? I think that's a big element. We don't want to miss or discount it in any way how important these wide receivers and why Kirby and company are going out and getting these kinds of players. You just don't go get those guys to block. Right. You get them to make plays. And I think, Mike, those guys are the guys that make your offense dynamic. You've got great running backs.
We talk a lot about the offensive side for Georgia. There's an article in The Athletic from Seth Emerson today about the front. They do kind of – now, Dan Quinn's going to run a 4-3 with some 3-4 action at times, and Georgia runs a 3-4, but they do have kind of a tackle and then a nose tackle listed on the depth chart, so sometimes it's confusing how they're coming at you. But they've got a combination of an upper – you got an upperclassman, you got Barnett, who's a fifth-year senior, and then you got a sophomore in Jordan Davis – who at 6'6", 330, looks like, I mean, it's kind of like the combination of when you go back to the days of Stroud and Seymour. They got a lot of, they're younger guys, but these dudes can hopefully just be ripping quarterbacks apart and also taking some of the pressure off the secondary. But a good article in The Athletic about, you know, the meat that they got in the middle for the Georgia Bulldogs.
What are Auburn fans saying, and how are they reacting to the news that came down yesterday that Bo Nix is now the starter?
Well, it's kind of like Georgia fans, first of all, The evolution of the quarterback position, Carl. First up, starting with Jacob Eason. Woo! We got the best quarterback, and now it's Fromm time. And then it was Fields for a minute. Fromm time is back. They're going bananas over Bo Nix. You talked about the Bo nose thing. I think Auburn fans might want to cool that. But here's a great little factoid. You're going to see Bo Nix starting against Oregon at AT&T Stadium, Jerry World, to start the season. First time a true freshman has started at Auburn at quarterback since 1946.
Yeah, he's a five-star. So the kid came out with a hell of a resume. I mean, this is not like a guy that Gus just randomly picked. And I've heard from my Auburn folks that this was a legitimate competition. You know, Gatewood didn't win the job. So this means to me, Mike, that Nix is running this offense down to a T. And that is something that now again, this Oregon challenge, and I say that they're number 11 at least to start the season. It's a big name. It's a big brand because Oregon's been relevant, you know, the last 15 years in college football. But I think if Nix is running the ball like I think they're going to be able to run the ball with those RPOs,
right,
he could be dangerous.
But Nick needs the super quarterback. You need the Cam. I mean, everybody could have used a Cam Newton, but the Cam Newton phenomenon, the year they win it all.
Well, they think this kid is that. I say that. Right. That's, I can't say he's going to win a national championship or a Heisman, but right. They think he can do those things.
Well, Nick Marshall was all that without some of the accuracy, especially in the national championship. But Nick Marshall was a special kind of athlete as well when they went all the way to the championship game against FSU. So that's the thing that Auburn fans are getting so fired up about. And that's why it hurts that we stole George Pickens, because that would have been a really nice freshman-to-freshman combination for the Auburn Tigers. Squidbilly's in my ear. Oh, hell, Oregon sucks. Well, they're number 11 in the country. Mario Cristobal might differ, and Oregon's defense is going to have to get after Herbert at quarterback, but that's a tough first game.
No, listen, here's the thing about first games. You're going off of Bo, what you think not Auburn, but Oregon is. There's so many unknowns. Mike's going out to Vegas this weekend. More money will be lost because you have no idea that week one of what you're getting.
Right.
Week 3 to 4, you kind of have an idea of what you've seen. Week one, you don't know what you're going to get. Auburn could go out. They could have 4 turnovers, Mike. They can't handle the football. All of a sudden, Oregon blows them out. You just don't know. And especially in week one, when you've got all these new faces and positions, there's a lot that is up for grabs.
But a lot of pressure on Gus. We've talked about it. It's well documented. If you read the papers from Auburn and the blogs covering the Tigers, the new Gus, you know, Gus 2.0, hanging out in the weight room, talking to the players, hands-on. You know, whether it was Rhett Lashley or Chip Lindsey, now it's Gus is just going to be taking over the whole thing. Okay. I mean, there is pressure there because I think so many folks in Auburn are ready to move on. But then again, you know, what's the relationship with Bo Nix? And if Bo Nix has a fantastic year but Auburn doesn't win a bunch of games, are you afraid to move on from Gus for losing a guy like Bo Nix? A guy like Bo would never transfer. I mean, here you haven't played a game yet. We already got him moving on in the portal.
Yeah, I know. And people automatically think that when guys don't get jobs. And if Bo Nix struggles, I think, you know, he'll have a backup plan. Here's the thing about Auburn, and you asked me this, and you said, will they move on from Gus if he doesn't win how many games? And I said, well, 9. Buyout is $26 million, and maybe north of that, if he gets fired before December 31st. If you wait till after December 31st, the buyout obviously goes down a little bit.
But then you hurt recruiting.
And that's the problem. And now with the early signing period, if let's just say things go south. Are you waiting around to do that, or are you going to go get your guy, whoever that is, for Auburn? This is a big year for Gus. So, but that buyout, everybody says, well, he'll be there. Okay.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the portal, up in West, by God, Virginia, and remember, Holgerson's gone now, Austin Kendall graduate transfer from Oklahoma. He's going to be the starting quarterback for the Mountaineers, by the way. Because it's amazing now how these guys all from the big schools just seem to like land on their feet. You know, whether it was Kelly Bryant heading to Missouri, Jalen Hurts from Alabama over to Oklahoma, Justin Fields now. But that seems to be the way the cookie crumbles for the big boy schools.
Yeah. There's been so much movement with the portal, especially at the quarterback position. I mean, it's almost like we could play a game of Clue with mm-hmm. the quarterbacks and how they've moved around at different spots. But, yeah, man, I think, you know, when you talk about that particular program, West Virginia, and a lot of people say, why did Dana Holgorsen take the job back at Houston?
Too much money, right?
Yeah, I mean, they offered. He's making Mike as much or, in some cases, more than some Power 5 guys.
And Neil Brown, guys, for those who follow Appalachian State up in Boone, he's the guy that got the gig up at West Virginia. But they go with the quarterback, again, a transfer from Oklahoma, has got the gig. They start against JMU, by the way. But, yeah, man, speaking of Vegas, in 2 weeks, a week from Friday, for instance, Georgia Tech, Clemson, 34.5 right now. Mm-hmm. Clemson. Going to take Clemson on that, right? They're going to beat the brains out of Georgia Tech this first new year of Jeff Collins up in Death Valley.
Georgia Tech fans, close your ears.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure. Again, we're excited about Coach Collins, but that's the toughest way you could ever start a new, you know, a new direction with a program going up to Death Valley.
They got too much coming back, and that quarterback is just too good to not think that they're not going to win by 21 or more. What is it again?
33-34.5.
I'll give you a C note. Hey, coming up, we got Dale Murphy. What does Murph think about Acuna getting hit? How good has Freddie Freeman been? Stay there to hear the legendary Dale Murphy on Dukes and Bell. So, Braves fans, what do you want to see? What do you want to do?
Payback.
Do you want to just chill and beat the Marlins and keep it moving? Or do you want to go after one of their guys? Alan Porter was the home plate umpire last night. He gave warnings to both teams when Acuna was hit and then didn't throw anybody out after Echevarria was hit in the fourth inning. And you have to wonder what that is all about. If you're going to give warnings, next time the guy throws inside, you're out of here. You got to throw guys out. The warning meant absolutely nothing.
Right.
So what do you want to do? We're asking you 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, text us or tweet us. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. The legendary Dale Murphy joins us. Murph, I was hot last night. I find myself getting upset because I know when you get hit at the beginning of a game like this, you know, those are the directions coming from management. Those are the directions coming from your manager. Hernandez wasn't aiming not to hit Acuna. First pitch of the game?
It is weird. But, you know, my perspective is, here's the question you got kind of got to ask yourself: weren't things even? Like we threw it a Urena or whatever his name was, right?
Mm-hmm.
We evened up everything last year.
Last year, yes.
Or this year,
yeah.
From last year,
correct.
We evened it up. It was over with. If Don Mattingly is old school, then there's no reason to keep this thing going. Here's the analogy I like, guys. Well, I don't know if it makes any sense. I just like the analogy. But it's like the good and evil on Star Wars. You got the Force and you got the dark side. The problem is when things get out of whack, then we're going to have a war. But what you want to do is keep things even. You don't want the dark side. You got to have opposition. But when it's even, everybody's kind of okay dealing with it. So to me, things were even. And I don't know. There could be a thing where whoever hit Acuna last year said, hey, you know, on their own. I don't think it honestly, I don't think it's coming from Mattingly. I wouldn't know why he would do it because things are even. That's my thing. I don't like warnings. Here's the problem with warnings, obviously, is because to me now things are out of whack. What and then they hit Echevarria,
right.
And so things are a little bit out of whack now. So I don't know when things are going to even up again.
Right. Well, remember Gausman didn't really make the best bean. Remember, Carl, it was kind of a weak attempt to plunk Urena. So I mean, I know what you're saying, Murph.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with you.
But
it didn't really work out too well.
But we don't really want to. First off, you don't want to do it with a starting pitcher. But then, if you did it, maybe at the end of the second game, we got two games left with these guys. You won't see them again until spring training. Is it worth it, you know, or you say you got bigger fish to fry?
No, no, it's always worth it. Here's the point.
Thank you, Murph. Thank you. Yeah.
No, here's the point. And this comes into the Acuña discussion on benching Acuña. It's always worth having the respect and understanding of the other team, who we are, and also the culture of your club. In other words, Snitker cannot jeopardize the culture of his club for one game, no matter what the situation is, because the culture and the rules of your team always supersede one game or one guy. That's why he was benched, because it sends the message, we don't style like that on a home run. I'm not going to say he wasn't hustling. He was styling way too long. So you style a couple steps, and then you go in case it doesn't go out. If you do, if you should be on second and you're on first, you're going to get benched. Some people were saying, we don't want to bench him during the Dodgers game. And then my point is, then you don't have culture.
Right.
You don't have an atmosphere that Brian Snitker controls. So it's the same thing with, if you have to hit somebody, you got to hit somebody, regardless of the situation. I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback on this, but that's the point. Now, I don't know what's going on, but I also got to say, guys, that I think the players will understand some things that are going on. They're going to start asking questions, and they're going to find out stuff that we don't know. So this thing may be over, but the players know, and it's you can't back down in a situation like this and say, well, we don't want to do this, or even with a starting pitcher. You got to do what you got to do, or you don't have a foundation to who you are. Does that make sense?
Absolutely it does. It is the legendary Dale Murphy joining us, guys. He joins us each and every week here on Dukes and Bell. It is always brought to you by our friends at Racetrack. And when the Braves win, Racetrack is my first stop. You can get a slice of pizza for just a dollar when you buy a 20-ounce Coca-Cola product for medium fountain drink at participating locations. Racetrack, whatever gets you going.
And that's the thing, Dale. I mean, we've talked about it. There's certain old school elements. That's like when the Acuña benching went down. There were some younger fans who didn't understand it, but it's a perfect message you send to your younger players.
Right.
Acuña accepts it, and everyone moves on with their lives. It wasn't a big deal.
No, and it was a big deal. People said, oh, this is going to be a distraction. It's not a distraction. Acuña did the wrong thing. He knew it. And he plays hard. I want to differentiate that. This is not running out a double play ball. Because if he doesn't run out a double play ball and they end up getting it, you know, if he doesn't hustle down the line, he was styling on the home run. Now, it still was wrong. He styled too long, and he didn't end up on second base. Changed the whole complexion of the inning. Could have cost us a game. And then he tried to steal, probably, because in his mind, I'm supposed to be at second. I'm going to try it. He gets thrown out. But you're exactly right. It's not there's no distraction. In fact, it reinforces what kind of club Snit is running. If you don't do it, you send a message to everybody else that you're, number one, you're not in control. You're not running the club. And that our culture varies with a situation.
Right.
And I also want to do a disclaimer as far as throwing at people. This is not high school or college or little league stuff. This is professional stuff. Mm. The problem with the warnings so early is it doesn't allow a team to even things out. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Wait a minute. We want to even it out. If we think there's something here, we want the opportunity. And I always hesitate when I say in the old days, but in the old days, the umpire said, okay, Acuña got hit. Well, someone's probably going to get hit on the Marlins, and we're going to let it go at that. If it escalates, then I'm going to have to start doing something. But out of the blue, and like you guys said, you've been talking about, I think I heard you say, they gave a warning, and then Hechavarria gets hit, and nothing happens. So, and let me just say one other thing. The reason why this culture of If I'm getting thrown at, which is a good card on the other side, if they're going to throw at me and hit me, and then they're going to hit another guy, and then they're going to hit another guy, and my team doesn't do anything to back me up, then we got a problem because they're taking total advantage of us. You just cannot, you can't give in. You can't give in. So I don't know what's going on here. I think the one thing I'll say is I think the players will be asking around, say, what was going on last night? And one other thing, Acuna needs to be pitched. I mean, the scouting report, I'm pretty sure from watching him hit, is you got to throw him inside. That doesn't mean you hit him, but he's going to get a lot of balls inside. That's one place where occasionally, he's got a weakness.
Here's the thing, Murph, as we get rolling now, as we said, two more games with the Marlins, is we're not 100%. McCann's on now the IL. We still don't know when we're going to get Dansby back. And now I'm glad we got Echeverria because we're getting better defense, but we're sacrificing offense. How worried are you about, where we're at right now with all these little guys, all the guys getting dinged up?
Well, thankfully we have a cushion. If we're not clicking, the last 10-day week of the season and kind of all healthy, I'm concerned. I mean, I like our depth. I like who we got, the Echeverria pickup, and Adam Duvall's been great. But there's a big but there. Yeah, organizational depth and you need the organizational depth to make up for the injuries that are inevitable with your ball club. But at the end of the season, if you're not healthy, that can be problematic.
Murph, let's get your take on Freddie Freeman. He leads the league in RBIs. He went deep twice last night. It's not just about one game. It's about him being legitimately considered as an MVP of this league. Fastest to 100 RBIs, 127 games. The last guy to do that was Andrew Jones, and he did it in 116. That was 06.
Wow.
So
wow.
Freddie right now is on pace to have more home runs and more RBI than he's ever had. And yet nobody's talking about him as an MVP candidate.
Yeah, it's to quote somebody else, it's an outrage. I don't know what talk show host said it, but it's an outrage. Isn't it funny? We were just talking about Acuna last week, and it's the same thing. I think he should be in the discussion with Yelich and Bellinger, and if there's somebody else. But here's Freddie's deal. All things being equal, you got to take the infielder. Now, I won a couple MVPs as an outfielder, and there were, if I go back and look at the votes, probably pretty close. Personally, if there was an infielder that I was neck and neck with, you got to give the benefit of the doubt to the infielder. Much tougher position. He saves errors. Freddie is a gold glover there. We know that. There's no excuse for him not being in the same sentence every single time the MVP situation comes up. Not only his offense, but when, you compare, Bellinger's good. He plays first base once in a while, and Yelich doesn't. There's no comparison to the impact of a good first baseman over the course of a season for a team.
Always a pleasure, Murph. Thank you so much for jumping on with this, and I'm glad we agree. You've got to hit somebody. Murph, have a great day.
All right, guys. Good talk to you.
You too.
That's our guy, man. Freddie leading the NL in RBIs. He is 6 in home runs and just 13 points behind Bellinger. Of course, Yelich has got 333 average. Yelly and Belly has been the marketing machine, certainly an MLB got behind. But, yeah, you're right, brother. Whether it's Acuna or Freddie certainly should be in that mix.
All right, guys, coming up, if you watch Hard Knocks, you saw him last night. If you didn't watch Hard Knocks, he's one of the funniest guys on the planet. Frank Caliendo, next. It is Dukes and Bell. Falcon Report's on the way. Mike and I were just talking about the Falcons and some things that are going on with our football team. We will talk about the defense coming up at 5 and some other things. Stay right there. But right now we want to say what's going on to a guy that we both love and we know well, and his name is Frank Caliendo, and you saw him last night, Mike, on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, man. You and I both texted Frank last night and said that was really funny, and we figured perfect timing. Now, I don't know how much of the audience got to see Hard Knocks last night, but they always have some fun stuff in the meeting rooms, and it was time for John Gruden to get up in front of the assembled team, and then all of a sudden it's Frank Caliendo. How tough was that room to work, Frank?
It actually wasn't bad at all. I talked to the Raiders last year in the middle of the season when they were really struggling and there was zero energy. And this time I went in and it was crazy positive energy in there. And they didn't know I was coming. Gruden did. John did. And Derek Carr actually knew too. But I got in there and I was a little confused because I thought it was last year I did it. And when I did it, I walked straight onto the stage. This time I had to go through the entire team to get to the stage, and I was just discombobulated. The other part of it was I had this idea that I was going to sing like Hunter Renfro, but better. And I set it up like they do for all the rookies. They say their name, their alma mater, and then their signing bonus. And I said, John Gruden, University of Dayton. I do this stuff for free. And I didn't say stuff.
You know? Right. That was gold,
so,
man.
I go up there and do that. But they edited it really well because I was trying to decide what I wanted to do at that moment, go into more comedy because I was getting really good laughs, or just start singing. So I guess the pause in real life was probably somewhere around 7 to 10 seconds of me just standing there making faces. And they tightened it up and made it better that way, especially for television.
Right.
But I was trying to sing, but nothing was going to come out of my mouth because I was just looking there and being like, what's next? And I didn't even know where Gruden was. He was sitting right next to me to my left, and I didn't see him because I was just so thrown off from going through the group. Like, I'm walking through this crowd. Everybody's sitting down, and they're taller than me by about a foot.
Yeah, man. Those NFL rosters. It is our man Frank Caliendo here on Dukes and Bell. And I got to tell you, Frank, this goes back to when you were out playing at Vegas at the Monte Carlo, and I came out and saw you. You remember when you were on that cover of the magazine, and I had you sign that whole thing? That was a great run for you out there, man.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was fun. Vegas for me, the difficult thing was that it's different people every week, but in some way they're the same people. Hey, there's drunk guy cheating on his wife. There's business guy who doesn't know what street he's on. So that was that element. Plus, I'm bigger on the East Coast because of football,
right?
Because of being on the pregame show for all those years, the Fox pregame show, and people knew me so much from that I had a 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock show when I started, which was midnight or 1 a.m. on the East Coast. People would be falling asleep that were big fans. They're like, you have to go wake them up with Morgan Freeman as the Sandman. And that's when they realized this was a bigger problem than they wanted it to be, you know.
It's our man Frank Kelly, and I mean, we don't want to make you feel like, you know, Bobo the Dancing Chimp. All right, Frank, do some voices, but can you give me some more Gruden? Because I love your Gruden, cracks me up, and you were just the facial expressions too. I mean, that was gold, man. It was gold.
I tell you what, man, that's tremendous stuff. There's a lot of jokes that I forgot to do. I'll set it up as myself here. So I went in and I was going to do the singing. I had like 20, like just kind of roast types of jokes. And I couldn't think of them because of the singing, and I was worried about the singing. But immediately I looked at Derek Carr, and instead of saying this joke, I got lost. But I looked at Derek Carr. Hey, there he is, Derek Carr, man. I didn't recognize you with sleeves on, man. Why are you covering up the armed forces, man? I love this guy. And how can you not have a great team when the voice of reason on the show, Hard Knocks, is Richie Incognito, man. I'll tell you what, when Richie Incognito's the Dr. Phil of your team, you know you got something special, man. And then I was gonna go to him to Jonathan Abram, hey, man, Jonathan Abram, take a look at you. There's no L in Salmon, man. It might be there visually, but that's like you guys on defense leading the offense to believe there's something else going on, then changing, going from zone to man in the snap count, man. So all that stuff I completely missed. I felt like an idiot. I was actually worried about how it was going to get put together.
Right.
Because I didn't know. And they moved some things around, and they did a brilliant, brilliant job to make it perfect for television. It was really well done. And I was excited because at the end of the night, like I gained, like on Instagram, I think I gained like 2,500, 3,000 followers.
Wow.
Probably about the same on Twitter. And I didn't even really, you go out there and try and solicit that and do Twitter tweeting stuff, but it was just happening naturally. So that was pretty cool.
The Glennon joke was great though, too, about his neck. That was funny.
Yeah. That was one because I had a bunch of stuff, and that one wasn't a joke that I came in there with any kind of pre-planning. I just looked at him. I saw the neck. And you ever play – This one I would have gone into. Did you ever see Street Fighter 2?
Remember that game, Street Fighter 2?
Remember Dalsum? Remember the guy from India who shoots the fire?
Yes!
That guy could extend his neck almost as long as Mike Glennon. That sounds like a henchman for Skeletor, man. Glennon. Look out, Beast Man.
It is our man, Frank Caliendo. And guys, by the way, he does, if you've never seen Frank, next time he comes this way, you got to go check him out. He's absolutely terrific. I mean, from President Bush and President Clinton to Jay Leno to Dr. Phil. Last night, you made me laugh because you're like, do guys even know who John Madden is? And I was like, what? And then you immediately went into Madden, and this is one I absolutely love. You made me want to try to do John Madden over the years. You still got him down.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you heard it, but Gruden asked me to do John Madden. So he says, do some John Madden.
Ah.
That's why that happened.
Okay.
He says it off camera. And what I should have done there, that was another botch by me. I should have done from episode one, that's the eight-man sled right there. You had a seven-man sled, but you went to the eight-man sled, and that's all because there's something about merit. 7 minute abs, 8 minute abs.
That's perfect.
Gold, man. Gold.
It is.
By the way, you are in our region. Where are you playing tonight? Are you on the road? What's going on?
No, I'm at home in Phoenix at the moment.
Right.
I'm in Nashville tomorrow, and then Huntsville, Alabama on Friday.
Right.
And those are just kind of some last second things to go work on. So those shows are all pretty much sold out. So I don't even have to work hard. If I want to pitch something for myself, frankpods.com. I got some different podcasts. One of them is where we recap right now for the first two more episodes, and one comes out in a little bit later today. That's a recap of Hard Knocks, where we're doing a bunch of Gruden stuff.
Right.
And that's called the Frank Caliendo Cast. And you can get it at frankpods.com. But I talk about that. What I just gave a little preview of, we go through the whole experience of me at the Raiders camp there, or basically that was Wednesday night before the Thursday game when they played the Cardinals. So.
Frank,
it's
a gift and a curse, though. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Frank Caliendo, guys, world-renowned comedian here with us. But because I'm guessing, and I guess the question is, do you still enjoy? Because every time you go out, it's, oh, my God, do this. And,
right?
I mean, it's a gift and
a
curse.
Do that. Yeah.
Every time you run into somebody, you're like, dude, I'm trying to shop for groceries here. You want me to do impressions, right?
Yeah, there's some of that. But, I mean, the tough thing for me is I've been working on things outside of the impressions as well, and trying to do more than just, you know, a lot of people know me for the sports impressions. And it's tough because if you've ever gone to see a band perform and they have a comedian go up before the band, or he's like, I want to sing. I listen to music. I don't want to hear comedy, no matter how good the comedian is. Well, for me, the impressions are the band. And personal me is the comedian up before the band. And people are like, hey, it's like Carrot Top showed up and the airline lost his luggage. What happened?
That's the thing. Play the hits, funny man, right? Exactly.
Yeah. And then you get people, then it's tough to do a balance because then you have people that want to hear the old stuff. And it's almost like they like Piano Man for somebody, the John Madden, not to put myself in that level, but that's what it is on my level. And then other people are like, can't you come up with anything else? I'm like, but if I don't do the John Madden at the show, people are going to get upset about it.
Right.
And I didn't even really want to do Madden on Hard Knocks last night. But when Gruden's looking at you going, hey, do some John Madden, man. And you don't do it, you look like a jerk in front of all those giant people.
Yeah, it's a great point, man. Dude, we really appreciate you today jumping on with us. We miss you. We can't wait to see you again this way. And congratulations on all the success.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, he's such a good dude. Thanks, man. Frank Caliendo right there on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yeah, I mean, he's such a nice guy. I mean, there's guys in the business that are real jerks.
Yep.
And it's been our good fortune to have some good guys that are comedians that are just really real in person.
All right, man. Coming up, we got the Falcon Report. The latest on Dansby and Austin Riley as well. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
John Gruden, University of Dayton. I do for free. You know why? Because I love football. Knock on wood if you're with me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.